chapter 31. Use this as a springboard. We'll be in a couple of different places this morning. I figured I'd preach on that verse again, dealing with she's not afraid of the snow. I really enjoyed that. And all right, Proverbs chapter 31. I will not be reading the verse about the snow, verse 21. Just one verse we're going to look at here, and that is going to be verse number 30. The Bible says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, I ask your blessing upon the message today. Lord, I pray for your mercy, your grace, your help. Please control what I say and how I say it. Lord, I pray that it would be a help to everyone that is here, that is present, that it would strengthen us in our faith, that would draw us closer to you. Please help us to leave here different than when we came in. Lord, I do pray if there's anyone here who has never truly put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in regards to salvation. Lord, I pray that even this morning they'd repent and place their faith in Christ. Lord, may you be glorified. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Yesterday at the Women of Faith, and by the way, I did bring that verse up jokingly yesterday about she is not afraid of the snow, of taking that out of context and having a little bit of fun with that with the ladies yesterday. But sadly, what is a true statement is how often Bible verses are used by preachers out of context to preach what they wanted to say. That happens way too often in our day, and that was sort of a funny example of how that is to take place. But yesterday at the Women of Faith, I had mentioned in the introduction of my message how that I believe, basically, even in verse 1, it says the words of King Lemuel, who by Jewish tradition in their writings, this is Solomon. Even David had two names for Solomon, and I do believe it continues. It fits with the book. It's the book of Proverbs. And so in their writings, it says that is referring to Solomon. And that in Proverbs 31, it is certainly a chapter that is known as this woman of virtue. This woman who was incredibly godly, one that had feared God. And what I pointed out yesterday by way of introduction was for the ladies to think about this. Who it was when God had Solomon pin these words in, who it was that he had in mind. That was Bathsheba. That was his mom. So it was really it's just an amazing example of redemption, of what God does, what Christ does in all of our lives, how he can take us and completely change us. Because it was through the life of Bathsheba that had this incredible impact on the lives of Solomon. Solomon was not the only one of David's sons, but he was the son that turned out better than the rest. You want to know what the influence was? I'm going to be honest, it wasn't David. David was not the best of fathers. It was Bathsheba. It was his mother. As he's pinning these words down of what he witnessed in the life, the genuine faith that he saw his mom live and the effect that it had on his life. It truly is amazing the difference that a godly mother can make in the life of her children. In the verse that I read that I focused on, it dealt with how, as Solomon was coming to the conclusion of this, how favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. And you can think of really of all of this in the context of the life of Bathsheba. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. How life really was, what Bathsheba grew to the point of her life was making life all about God. What directed her decisions and what she did is she realized, listen, if this is true, if life is all about God, then I will fear Him and I will serve Him. And she lived it. It just wasn't a Sunday morning Christianity. She realized it was what life was all about, and we see the effect that it had on Solomon. We know from the Word of God, from verses like, and I'm going to be going to Hebrews in a little bit, but I think of Hebrews 11, 17, and it connects two things together that are important for my message. And that is faith with fear of God. It was by faith when Noah had made the ark, but it was that faith leading to the fear of God. Just like with Bathsheba, with Solomon's mother here, in knowing it is faith that will direct that, of knowing God is there. And the soberness of that thought. But it will be your faith that directs that. Faith in believing in God. Faith in making life about God. And I certainly think we recognize the great need to have mothers of faith. Mothers that truly and genuinely fear God. I had watched an interview of a man who's not even a Christian, although if he's not careful, this guy's going to get saved, and that's Jordan Peterson. And boy, did he bring out such a tremendous point in this interview. He was being interviewed by a lady, I guess she was in Europe, I believe, England, if I remember right. A lady newscaster was doing the interview with Jordan Peterson. And we all understand that today the position of a mother is so attacked, of being a wife and a mother, that it's somehow degraded, that it's somehow less. And so that skews our children as they get older, as they view this as not as important. And so in this interview with a lost guy, Jordan Peterson, to my knowledge, has still never been converted. You can see he's really close by the way that he talks about God and talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's right there. But he's being interviewed, and he had asked a lady a question. I can't remember what he asked her, but she went off basically on her position that she arrived at. Not married, no kids, but at the pinnacle of her career, and I guess where she's at in England, she's incredibly popular. And he had mentioned something about, do you regret not having children, a husband and children? She said, oh no. I mean, I haven't had time for that. Look where I'm at. And again, and the bragging continued, and Jordan Peterson just sat there and looking at her, just no real reaction. When she finally finished speaking, the point he made was profound. And it stopped her. I mean, it did. You could just see it stopped her. He said to her, you know, that might be fine right now. He goes, but give it another 15 years. When you have no children, you have no grandchildren, and you're lonely. Point being, she was actually missing what life was all about and believing a lie. A life that was headed, as Solomon would put it, a life that is headed toward vanity. Again, too much is attacked today on motherhood and being a wife. The truth is, you'll never find true joy. This would be true for a man as well. Life is about God climbing a corporate ladder. It will be in your Lord, in God, in the family He gives you, in those sweet notes from your children that they give you. In being the one as a mom, orchestrating an amazing home. And we certainly do live in a changing, difficult day, spiritually speaking. A culture that is very humanistic and has very much turned from God. But in many ways, there's advantages to this. Because really, the culture of America, going back, we would have to go back a couple of generations right now to see the more reality of this. It was more culture to be somewhat of a godly woman. It was more culture. Right now, that certainly isn't the case. And there is at least one advantage to that. It can lead to genuine faith. Because the ladies are going to make the choice that I will make my life about God. And we're not talking about making it about church, or but a truly seeing God, a fear of God, faith in God. They're going to do it not because it's culture, but because it's truth. And moms, if you want to make a difference in your family, to make a difference for your children towards God, the key will always be your faith. It's faith, not just as we saw in Proverbs 31 with the example of Solomon's mother. It's not just the profession of faith. I was when we were in the lower 48, I was talking with a mother out of church. And it's expressed to me the concerns of wanting her children in church, because I don't think they've ever been. Ever. And I said, well, it would just start with you. It should start with you. In other words, it's not just a profession of faith that we're dealing with here that makes a difference for your family. It's genuine, sincere faith lived out before your children. And even if they struggle later on in life, I am telling you, that can still serve as an anchor one day. It is a genuine faith that is lived out that makes such a difference. The time that your kids see you praying every day. The time that your children walk by and see mom on her knees praying before the Lord. The times when those difficult times hit, I'm going to focus on this in a little bit later in this message. When those tough days hit in the home or in life or whatever, and they can see genuine faith at those moments drawn out. You see, parents, the keys for our children are not the rules that we put in place. Although they're needed, my kids had them. Ask him. But I always knew that's never the key to their Christian life before God. Matter of fact, rules without the genuine faith can many times prove to be very, very dangerous. It is your faith in God that makes all the difference. There's examples of this in the Word of God. Time is going quickly, so let me read one verse for this one. I was going to go to two places. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 with me, very quickly. Hebrews chapter 11. This could easily be a two-part message, so I'm going to shorten some things up here to make this just one portion. Look at verse 23. Of Hebrews chapter 11. And moms, as well as all of us, I want to show you an example of great faith that made an enormous difference. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. In Hebrews chapter 11, the only woman that is listed here as a mother of faith is Jochebed, Moses' mom. I don't have time to go there. If you wanted to read the account this is referencing, it is Exodus chapter 2 in the first 10 verses. There's other women mentioned, obviously, in Hebrews chapter 11. But the one that as far as her faith is in relation to her being a mother, is Jochebed. This faith made a tremendous difference in the life of her child. I mean, think about what happened that day. I mean, the law is in place and the male children were to be killed and by context there, it doesn't say it directly, but by we know what is taking place, it's highly, highly unlikely. She even used a midwife for the delivery of the child and so Moses is born. And then, you know, when you read it there, it's kind of funny. I always enjoy reading that because it said he was a goodly child. Who's writing those words? Who's writing that down? Who's the Lord to pin that down? Moses. He's writing that about himself. He was a good... Now, I personally believe it went like this. He wrote a lot more than that. Oh, he was amazing. He was destined for greatness. He was going to be so successful. He was good looking. He had, you know, all, even as a baby, his arms were huge and strong and built with muscles. And the Lord came, stop it! Take all that off! Lord, just one part maybe forever in your word? Goodly. We'll go with that one. And we realized what had happened as they built that little ark and sent it down the river there. And Pharaoh's daughter seen it, pulling out the child. His sister right there. Hey, would you like me to call for one of the Hebrew women to come and nurse this child? Yes, I would. And she goes and gets Jochebed, and she gets to raise her own child. Is that not incredible? I mean, think of how God had to work in this. To have Miriam present, all the circumstances taking place, to be able to hide the pregnancy, all that was going on, and to have Miriam right there, and Pharaoh's daughter to agree, yes, go find one of these Hebrew women for me. Think of the sovereignty of God in all of this. And moms, listen to me, even in our day of everything seeming to go backwards, there's one thing we have on our side that the world does not, and that is the sovereignty of God. He's still in control. Even in the most difficult circumstances, you know what God does provide? A way to raise your children right. And as Hebrew points out, this was a demonstration of faith. She did not let circumstances control her faith. She allowed God. This affected Moses. Could you imagine Moses learning of what his parents did? That would have a tremendous effect on him. Now, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 15. We saw there how Jochebed, her faith, made a difference. I'm going to show another example of a mom in Matthew 15. And this woman, Jesus, said of this mother, she had great faith. She had great faith. Now, before I get into reading this account, there is something that we need to remember to keep this in context and to have understanding of what is taking place. It is always difficult or trying times which demonstrate great faith. So what we're going to read about is the great faith of a mother. Remember, though, it's always difficult or trying times. I mean, if I was to ask you right now, if I was to say, listen, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Somebody give me an example when David showed great faith. Probably David and Goliath would be one of the first things given. Probably of 80% of us here, that's what came to your mind when I asked that question of showing great faith with David, was probably David and Goliath. Again, because he was faced with what looked like just an impossible situation. There's no way out of this. There's no hope. So that is what proved to be a demonstration of great faith, a difficult circumstance. If I was to ask about Joshua and Caleb in the same regard, probably it would come to mind where how those were the only two saying, no, let's take it. We can go into the promised land. When everybody else say, no, we can't. There's giants in the land. We can't do this. Yet they were the two because they were facing such difficult circumstances. It is the difficult circumstances that allows great faith to be evident. It's not that it's not there. It's that that's what brings it out. I mean, when Peter got out of the boat, it was a storm and fear that was leading to that circumstance that demonstrated amazing faith. So if we don't have giants, we don't have the storms, if we don't have the trials, if we don't have the difficult circumstances, there's never a chance for great faith to be demonstrated. Perhaps some of the most inspiring events in the Bible that help all of us are events that are showing great faith during very difficult days. So even though we live in a difficult day, Even though the attacks on being a mother and a wife are attacked over and over and over, we have challenges. It is a time when faith can be demonstrated, when great faith can be drawn out. Now, I was in the wrong chapter. Now, let me read a couple of verses here in Matthew chapter 15 quickly. Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now remember what I said. What the Lord is getting ready to do is to demonstrate the great faith that the woman has. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, and yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fell from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Boy, what a difference that this woman's faith made in the life of her child. This Syrophoenician woman, Christ acts in such a way to draw this great faith out. As we're going to see, he's not being mean. He's not being abrasive. He is trying to show the people a demonstration of what great faith looks like. Again, and we live in a day of challenging days of rearing our children and all that we see taking place. But it's time to demonstrate great faith. If you want to make a difference in the lives of your children, ladies, please, it starts with genuine, true faith. Allowing your children to see that. Allowing your children to see that faith in God that you have that is bringing out virtue. This mother has a daughter that the Bible says is vexed with the devil. The word means it is severe. She's in great distress, tormented. I mean, could you imagine how horrible this had to be for the mom to witness what was happening in the life of her child? And this can take different forms today where you can be different times even tormented yourself and watching what's happening in the lives of your children. The word that is even used here for daughter, there's different Greek words used for daughter. This one implies a young daughter, a child, not an infant, not a teenager, but a child. I have no doubt that this mother would try over and over to try and help her daughter however she could, but so far to no avail. And obviously she already heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, His miracles were spread abroad. I mean, He literally would go into towns and heal every single person. That would be incredible. And so this mom realizes there's an opportunity here. The Lord Jesus Christ is near here. She can hear His voice. And she is going to demonstrate great faith. She had heard no doubt of His miracles and perhaps heard Him preach and realizing this man can help. He has the answer. Listen to me. She believed that. With everything she had, she believed He was the answer. And so within this, what we learn of this from this woman and her great faith and how it demonstrated itself, we learn this, that great faith in the Lord has an ability to handle the obstacles and challenges or trials that are presented before it. And that's true. Your faith is going to be tested. It's not just like, that's not how God ever orchestrated it to work. There are times when a simple one-word prayer that we give to the Lord and He answers. There are other times that's not the case. Again, as I mentioned earlier, you can never see great faith demonstrated without obstacles and trials. And you have to trust in the sovereignty of God because He knows the hearts of all men and how to use your faith to make a difference, maybe not even the person you're expecting. But as we see with this mother, she knew how to handle obstacles. I mean, she is a parent interceding before God on behalf of her child. And boy, what a lesson is just in that. I'm not going to get into. I actually have a sermon on this that you can go back and listen to in the book of Matthew where I get into this full text. But what an example of intercession before God on behalf of our children. That's something that I still do. All my children are, 4 of the 5 are already married. The other one is obviously in college. But still, every day, interceding before God. Look at the first trial that she did have to endure. This one's really difficult. In verse 22... she's begging the Lord for help. She knows He can help. He has the answer. My daughter is vexed. It's horrible. She's tormented. I've been witnessing this. Who knows for how long? But this is the answer. And she's pleading now and crying out. And verse 23 says this, but He answered her not a word. The first obstacle that she had to deal with was silence from God. That's a tough one. That is. This certainly isn't the only example of this in the Word of God. But that's a tough one. There are times when God is silent. But she knew. I know He's not responding. He's not saying a word. But she knew because of that great faith. He is the answer to this. I'm not stopping. So she responds to the silence of God with persistence, with importunity, staying faithful, crying out, please, please. So much so even the disciples come and saying, listen, she keeps crying. Could you just send her away? She had a great need. She knew that the Lord was the answer. She knew it. Again, she heard of Him helping others, of the blind receiving sight, of the deaf able to hear, of the lame who are able to walk, of those who are sick being healed, of even those who were dead being raised from the dead. And there are times, and again, don't get into the thing of comparing yourselves among yourselves. You stay on target. You stay with your faith in Christ. Even when He's silent, you stay with it. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Even when you don't understand, even at times if you don't agree, don't quit. I assure you, Mary and Martha did not agree when the Lord let Lazarus die. But little did they know how He was going to use that. She was persistent. Why was she so persistent? Because of the great need before her and her conviction, her faith, that the answer was in Christ. When God is silent, don't stop praying. Don't stop seeking God. He is the answer. Delays are not denials. You trust Him. You trust in His sovereignty. And you trust in His goodness because He is good. Even if at the moment you can't see it. Her second obstacle was a refusal, to some degree even based on Scripture, but he was pulling out a principle here. Again, you can go back to that actual message on this text to listen to that. In verse 24, this is after the disciples had said, "Send her away." Now he speaks. "But he answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" Now understand this. This is not being mean and abrasive. Remember this, please. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He already knows. From the very first moment he heard her cry out, he knows that in just probably less than 60 seconds or 10 minutes or whatever it might have been, this short time frame of just minutes, her daughter is going to be healed. He's going to see the smile on her face, the joy evident in her face. He knows that's getting ready to take place. But Christ is pulling out great faith. And really, he's getting to the need here. She approached him. This is a Syrophoenician woman. She's not a Jew. It's interesting, by the way, the two people that the Lord gave us specific examples in the Word of God that had great faith, neither of them are Jewish. It was the Roman centurion and then this woman right here. But she had come to him and begging out the Son of David. To which, in within that culture, she basically really had no right to. Especially because it is the cross that's going to make everything possible of us one before God as we come to Christ. And how she handled this obstacle, I love. He said, "I'm not sent but the lost house of sheep of the house of Israel." Asked her, she addressed him as, "Thou, O Lord, thou Son of David." Then she came and worshipped him. Think of this, what's taking place here. See the scene, saying, "Lord, help me." Now she's coming to him, not really as the Messiah now. She's coming to him as God. "Please, you are the one. I worship you." Still staying persistent, still staying on target. And the truth is, when great need hits us, we go before him because he's God. Because of who he is. And then let me move on quickly to the last obstacle she had to deal with. Look at Christ's response as she came down and she's worshiping him. That means falling down before. Don't think of the nonsense you see in all the worship styles of today. It's so carnal, pathetic, all designed towards the people and the storms that I'm going through. Genuine worship is about God, not about you. So she's falling down before him, worshiping. "Please help." Look at this response. "But he answered and said, 'It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs.'" Now remember, he knows what's getting ready to take place. He is drawing out great faith. This would be so difficult to hear. By the way, even within this, I should point this out, though, there is compassion in this. There's two different words used for dog. One is an insult. One is a smaller one as a pet. He used the word, the smaller one, used as a pet. And so she hears these words coming from the Lord, but look at her persistence. She doesn't stop. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." There's two things present here with great faith that you need to see. Both are so important. Wisdom and humility. The wisdom that is demonstrated in her words. Wow. Great faith will have wisdom with it and not foolishness. You have multitudes claiming great faith today, yet all they act in is foolishness. and the humility she demonstrates. We know that contentious cometh by pride, as the Bible teaches us. She could have decided to get offended. Well, fine. How dare you talk to me that way? Understand, though, she starts off asking for mercy to begin with. She's now worshiping as God. She knows. I have no right even to come. This is the Creator. This is God Almighty. She allows her humility to guide and direct. She didn't let her pride get hurt and quit. How often does our pride simply destroy us and take us off target because we're offended? Make life about God, not you. And in this case, she knew the need of her daughter. Her faith was in the one who could help. And she never, ever stopped being persistent. She knew her own sinfulness. She knew if God is going to answer this prayer of mine, you know what she knew? She didn't deserve it answered. She didn't have a right to it. So often that's where we get offended before God, because we think we have a right to this answer of prayer. No, you don't. You need grace and mercy before Him. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain. She knew her own sinfulness. She knew if this was to be answered, it would be out of mercy and grace. She knew how wicked she was. And yes, that I have no right to come before you. I know who I am. But God, please, you are the one who can help. And you know what He did? He healed her. It was done. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. And her child was healed completely at that very moment. Could you just imagine her grabbing her daughter and just weeping with her? It's over with. And I can just see the Lord right there. There's no doubt there's a smile on His face as He's watching them. And all those, including the disciples who just witnessed this event, it would be profound. This is what great faith looks like. But your pride will prevent it. Your idea that you think you have a right to this. We have to understand how wretched all of us are. That we come before God, it is only because of mercy and grace. And just like here, great faith is rewarded. I certainly don't always understand how, when. I don't have those answers. But the key answer we do have, at whatever point in God's sovereignty He decides, and in what manner, it is answered and responded to. Great faith is rewarded. Great faith overcomes trials and obstacles. It's when it's demonstrated. Listen, moms, one thing that'll make one of the biggest differences in the life of your children is during the really, really tough times. When they see how you respond. When they see all of a sudden maybe something hits, an event hits the family, or trials come, and what they witness is simply just mom coming over and saying, you know what, I just need to pray. We need the Lord in this situation right now. That's what we need. Even them letting them hear, Lord, I don't understand, Lord, but we need your help. Letting them see in response to prayer of staying persistent, even when they're saying, but we're not seeing God answer. And then yet hearing you say, no, but I will trust Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. He is the answer. If we're going to make a difference in the lives of our children today, our faith, genuine faith, not just a profession, but an action, needs to be demonstrated before our children. With heads bowed and eyes closed.